Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries broadcast with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. Thank you for calling in. I want to thank Pastors Stephen and Ann Butterfield. They are the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. The senior pastor is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and the lead pastor is Kevin Jones. Their services are held Sundays at 10:45 a.m., and they have Bible studies on Wednesdays at noon and 7 p.m. So before we get into the Word, I also want to share that Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, they have a broadcast also called Turn on the Light Ministries, and you can call the same number every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Turn on the Light Ministries every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So we're going to hear a song before we get into the Word, amen?
Father, fill us to full and overflow.
Let praises rise
from the inside
of me.
Father, may you delight
in the inside of me.
You to be glorified, you to be lifted
wherever you are right now, the altar is open. Confess it before him. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, Father, which is my reasonable service. Now fill me, Father, right where I am. Fill me. Fill my mind. Fill my thoughts. There's none of me, and there's all of you.
Hallelujah. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name, God. Is that your cry? All I want is for you to be glorified, God. For you to be lifted on high. Is that your desire tonight? Fill me. Fill me till I overflow with your glory, with your goodness. Hallelujah. Well, once again, I want to thank you for calling in to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries. I am Brother Norm, and we're going to get into the Word. We're going to be coming out of St. John, the 6th chapter, starting at the 16th verse. St. John, the 6th chapter, starting at the 16th verse. Hallelujah. It says, and when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've allowed us to have. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you for your protection, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you right now, God, for wrapping your arms around us, for charging your angels to be encamped around about us, to protect us and keep us in their care, Father. And Father, let our life glorify you. Let it bring honor to you, Father. And as we receive your word, Father, we will apply it to our lives that you may be glorified, that you may be lifted on high. I decrease that you may increase, Father. None of me and all of you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, of course, the headlines today is Hurricane Dorian. So it's interesting that the Lord gave me this particular passage because of the current events that are going on at this time. And the talk is about the eye of the storm. The eye, E-Y-E, of the storm. And I was watching the news yesterday, and I saw two comments that stuck out to me, and I had to write them down. One of them was, they were showing the results of Hurricane Dorian hitting the Bahamas. And one comment was, Bahamas damage puts the fear of God in you. Bahamas damage puts the fear of God in you. And the second comment I saw was, it said, Dorian is a generational devastation. Dorian is a generational devastation. And so those two stuck out to me because the Lord said that there's fear in the atmosphere. He said there's fear in the atmosphere. And what we have to do is confront that fear and defeat it with faith. I'll repeat that. He said there's fear in the atmosphere, and what we have to do is confront that fear with faith. Amen. And I was reading something in the Washington Post, and they were describing the inside of the eye of the hurricane, Dorian. One description was elegantly destructive. Elegantly destructive. The second was beautifully terrifying. Beautifully terrifying. And the third one was unimaginably real. Unimaginably real. And I looked at those and I said to myself, those are like oxymorons. You're saying one thing, but you're saying another. And then I went on to read, and it said, the eye of a Category 5 hurricane is one of the most horrific and serene places on Earth. It seemingly shouldn't exist, a tranquil oasis at the center of a ground-stirring vortex of fury. It's the halfway mark between bouts of destruction and intermission of calm that belies the cruelty and capriciousness and elegance of Mother Nature. It's a scientifically stunning and catastrophically ferocious sight that few people will ever see. And then it ended with this. It almost looks peaceful. It almost looks peaceful. I was watching an interview of someone that was preparing for the hurricane in the United States. I think they were in the Carolinas. And the comment that she made was, I'm just surrounding myself with a higher vibration, and I'm wishing Dorian to just go back out to where she belongs. We appreciate her presence, but it's time to go back to sea, and we thank you to move on. My first question was, where did she get her and she from? because the Dorian that I know is a male. But that's another subject. But some of the things that stuck out to me was she said she was surrounding herself with a higher vibration. And I'm wishing Dorian to just go back out to where she belongs. A higher vibration. And my wish is for Dorian to go back out there where she belongs. I did some study, just a touch of it, of the eye of the hurricane. And one of the questions I asked myself was, why do hurricanes have eyes? What is it about the eye that is so fascinating to people when you think about the hurricane, the eye of the hurricane? And I saw something, and it says, it seems odd that at the center of the fury, there is a tiny refuge, an island of calm, but it's an integral part of a hurricane structure. Within the eye wall, the change in air pressure causes tremendous inward suction. By the time air arrives in the eye wall, it's swirling so quickly that the outward push it feels is balanced by the vacuum-like force toward the middle. So it's like a tug of war of air pressure. So all the air converges and rises in the eye wall instead, where the winds are the worst and where the thunderstorms are the tallest. So much air hits the ceiling of the atmosphere, known as the tropopause, that some actually curved back toward the middle of the storm instead of flowing outward. That pocket of convergence causes a narrow column of sinking air, which eats away at any fledgling clouds and punches a clear hole in the center, called the eye of the storm. So it was talking about how the eye of the hurricane is formed. I want to read this passage again, but I want to go to Mark 6 chapter this time. Mark the 6th chapter, starting at the 52nd verse. I'm sorry, Mark 6 and 45, going to the 52nd verse. St. Mark 6 chapter, verse 45. And of course, this is Jesus. Jesus, he had just finished performing one of the most famous miracles, I guess we can say, and we will get to that in a moment. But after that particular miracle, verse 45 says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And see, it says that he had to constrain them. He had to convince them, actually almost make them get into the ship and go to the other side before him, meaning without him, to a place where they feared going because they had heard some things that had happened. So first of all, they were scared to go to the other side, which speaks about fear. Fear in the atmosphere. And verse 27 says, "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." That's that miracle that I spoke of before this passage. It says that they considered not the miracle of the loaves. And of course, that particular miracle was after Jesus had ministered to the people. It was really time for everyone to go home and prepare dinner. But instead, Jesus asked, "What do we have here to feed them?" And the disciples said, "Well, all we see is a little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. I've heard some people say that's a two-piece fish snack. So what Jesus did, he said, "Go get them and bring them to me." And so they went and got the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it says that he blessed it and fed, says at least 5,000 men. 5,000 men at least. Not including women and children. With 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. That's why that's considered one of the greatest miracles. But not only that, they had all also witnessed him delivering a man who was filled with demons. When he asked the man his name, the man said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That was the demon that was speaking. And he delivered that man to the point where it says that he was clothed and in his right mind. And he wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus said, "No. Don't follow me. Go back and tell the people what has happened to you. So he went from a demon-possessed man to an evangelist, to a missionary, sharing what Jesus had done for him. Not only that, there was a woman with the issue of blood that she had for 12 years. Says she had spent all of her money going to different physicians, different doctors, trying to find a cure. But when she heard that Jesus was in the area, says she made her way through the crowd, literally on her knees, because during that time, the disease that she had, she could be killed, she could be stoned for being around people. So she was literally on her knees, crawling, hiding from the people, making her way to Jesus. And then in the midst of the crowd, Jesus felt virtue, power go out of his body and asked the question, who touched me? The disciples said, who touched you? What do you mean? You got people all around you. He said, no. This was different. This was a touch of faith. And she was healed at that moment because of her faith. Not only that, there was a synagogue ruler named Jairus who also approached Jesus because his daughter was sick, a 12-year-old girl. And while he was talking to Jesus, some of his servants came and said, don't worry about it. It's too late. Your daughter is dead. So Jesus stopped what he did, stopped what he was doing, and spoke to Jairus and said, she's not dead, she's only sleeping. And went to his house and brought her back to life. So the disciples who had been with Jesus daily, seeing all of these miracles, they saw the demon-possessed man delivered. They saw the woman diseased healed. They saw the girl who was dead brought back to life. And then the people that were fed, I call that a divine dinner. So it was interesting that when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they didn't recognize him. After being with him daily, but the most interesting thing to me is a passage in St. Luke 8 chapter. Let's go there. St. Luke, the 8th chapter. This is the most interesting thing to me. Starting at the 22nd verse, St. Luke 8 and 22 says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he, Jesus, went into a ship with the disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. and they launched forth. See, this was different. The passage we just read said that he constrained them to go. He told them to go before him, without him, to the other side. But this particular passage says that he got in the boat with them. And then he said, let us go over onto the other side of the lake. Let us go together. I'm going with you. Verse 23 says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? There are times when he said, oh, ye of little faith. But here he said, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Now that's one way of sharing that particular passage. But let's go to St. Mark, who talks about the same passage. St. Mark, the fourth chapter. Four, and we're gonna start at the 35th verse. 4:35. Says, and the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow during the storm. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Questioning Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Don't you care if we live or not? Do you want us to die? Why are you asleep? And we're in the middle of this storm. That's my interpretation. I'm not reading this. And so he says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Why are ye so fearful? There's fear in the atmosphere. How is it that ye have no faith? We must confront that fear with our faith. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So I share that to say, not only had they experienced or seen him do miracles after miracles, but they had this history with him of already being in a storm, in a ship. And had seen him speak to the wind. So when they saw him walking on the water, why were they so afraid? To the point where he had to say, "It is I. Fear not. Be not afraid." In one version I read, he said, "It's me, Jesus." To those who spent time with him daily. So I didn't give you the title of this particular message. And that title is, "Not the Eye of the Storm, E-Y-E, but the I, letter I, in the storm." The I in the storm. Jesus said, "It is I." He was in the middle of the storm with them. So who is that I? What is that I in the storm? Let's turn to Revelation, first chapter. Revelation, first chapter, 7th verse. It says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." And verse 8 says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." That's an I in the storm. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am which is. I am which was. I am which is to come. I am the Almighty. Glory to God. Another scripture in Revelations, chapter 19, starting at verse 11, Revelation 19, verse 11, says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the eye in the storm. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One more. Revelation 22nd chapter, the 7th verse, 22 and 7 says, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12 says, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 13 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And verse 20 and 21 says, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So Jesus is saying, It is I, the Alpha and Omega. It is I, the beginning and the end. It is I, the first and the last. It is I, the root and offspring of David. It is I, the bright and morning star. It is I, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is I, Jesus, the I in the storm. With every storm, there's a forecast. And so I looked up the word forecast. So I really didn't know the definition of it. I knew what it was. And so one of the definitions is to calculate or predict some future event or condition, usually as a result of study and analysis of available pertinent data to predict weather conditions on the basis of correlated meteorological observations. Another definition is to indicate as likely to occur. To indicate as likely to occur. Another definition is foresight of consequences and provision against them. Forethought. But this next one is what really stuck out to me. It says, a prophecy. It's a definition of forecast. A prophecy, estimate, or prediction of a future happening or condition. Wow. A prophecy, estimate, or prediction of a future happening or condition. And so when I read that particular definition, I thought about the scriptures in Revelation, what I just read. And Revelation 22 and 7 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." That's why that word stuck out to me when I saw that definition. It said, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And then the same chapter, Revelation 22, verse 18 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book." So there's that word prophecy, which is a definition of forecast. So reading those scriptures again, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the forecast of this book." The prophecy. And verse 18 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the forecast of this book." The prophecy. 19 says, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this forecast, of this prophecy." So I thought about that. And the Lord said, the Bible, you got to get this, the Bible is the forecast of every storm of life. I feel like running up in this place. The Bible is the forecast of every storm of life. So whatever storm we're facing, there's a forecast. There's a prophecy. There's a word to confront it, to combat it, to defeat it, to conquer it. So what if that storm is the doctor report? Okay, let's read the forecast. Isaiah 53rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. Talking about a bad doctor's report. Verse 1, Isaiah 53rd chapter says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Sounds like that elegantly destructive or beautifully terrifying or unimaginably real. Verse 3 says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That means he was in the storm. He's been there. He's done that. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So whatever the doctor report says, the forecast is we are healed. Not will be, not might, not likely, not hopefully. We are healed. That's the forecast for a doctor's report. What about debt, bills, financial challenges? Let's go to Philippians 4:19 and read the forecast of that particular storm, the storm of debt, bills, financial crisis, or challenges. Philippians 4th chapter, the 19th verse. Says, but my God, I see what you're facing. I see what kind of storm you're in, what kind of financial storm you're in, but my God shall, not might, not hopefully, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Glory to God. What about your enemies? Let's go to Isaiah 54th chapter and read the forecast regarding your enemies. Hallelujah. 54, and we're going to start at verse 14. It says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon, no storm that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So keep your eyes, the E, Y-E on the I in the storm. Not the storm itself, or not the I of the storm, but the I in the storm. Whatever difficulties, whatever decisions you have to make, know that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. And then he says, I know the plans that I have for you, and that end is peace. peace. Be still and know that I am God, for all things are possible with me. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his feet begging bread. Be still and know that I am God, for all things are possible with me. My word shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. Be still and know that I am God, for all things are possible with me. I have made a vow to supply your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus, exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Above all you can ask or think. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. The eye in the storm. Thank you for calling in. God bless you. And I hope to meet you again next week, same time. God bless you. Love you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.